This show is supported by State Farm. You have insurance for your home, your health, and your car. Why don't you have insurance for your small business? So many small business owners think they don't need or don't even know about small business insurance. Protecting a source of revenue is one thing, but so is protecting all of your hard work and your team members. State Farm agents are all small business owners too, so they know how to help small business owners choose personalized policies that fit their budgets. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Yeah.
One,
let's go.
Two,
three,
five,
let's go.
Seven, nine.
KCK. What's the guy? Hi.
Welcome to For the Girls podcast. I'm Nick Westrate.
I'm Jason Block. What's the radio host?
Casey Kasem.
I'm Casey Kasem.
I am not. This is a podcast about fandom and divas, queer people loving female performers.
Yes. Yep. As we know, as we constantly state, Nick and I grew up together, and we didn't have much representation in our lives, and so we just kind of really attached ourselves to divas and more so any female performers, and they really saved us and gave us a light to our lives, and so now we are showing our gratitude and making a whole podcast about it.
Yeah, sometimes we have fans of other divas, and then sometimes it's just me and Jason talking about a diva of our own. And this is a podcast for all types of different people. This is a podcast. Who is this a podcast for, Jason?
This is a podcast for spooky mistresses.
Oh, this is also a podcast for undercover witches.
This is a podcast for those with collections of cauldrons.
This is a podcast for community theater stars.
This is very specific, but I know that we have a couple listeners out here. This is a podcast for the people who are surprise real estate agents / wannabe actors.
Yes. This is a podcast for diamond thieves who can't hold on to their fucking rose petals.
I have a whole rose petal. I need to figure out the rose petals thing because mama found a mystery inside the mystery, and I really need to figure it out.
It's a double mystery this week. But what, it is fucking October now when this is airing, and what does that mean, bitch?
That means that I've already a month out of Halloween decorations.
Yes.
I'm not going to say like I'm a trendsetter because I know I'm not. I think, but I sometimes feel like I am. But in these times, I really feel like I'm just very riding a cultural wave because, like, as we know, Jason loves her seasonal decorations. And it turns out so does the whole country because I've just seen constant memes of being like, it's September, boom. And then everyone is like putting up the largest, like an entire two-story skeleton in their yards.
Oh, fabulous. So, I love a two-story skeleton.
Have you seen that? Have you seen that, like,
no,
Home Depot skeleton that people are freaking out about? That's gigantic. Yeah, that's real.
Definitely not. Don't shop at Home Depot because they support Trump.
Yeah.
October's my favorite month on For the Girls podcast. We've only had one other October before. It was iconic. We do spooky Halloween things all month. And this month we have 5 motherfucking Halloween episodes coming at you. Jay,
do we?
What do we have? What's
no,
this
we
week?
Don't. No, we don't.
Five, four, three, two, one.
I'm counting 4, and I don't know what the
okay,
fifth
well, what's
is.
Okay, well, what's today? Let's count together. What's today? What are we doing today? If no one looked at what the episode was about.
Okay, well, today is going. We're going back. We're entering paradise, which is our favorite thing to do in the entire world. I could do this for every episode. I could just make this whole For the Girls podcast, a For the Jessica podcast, for baby Jessica Fletcher. And then we're doing 2 movies coming at you. Some 2 really hot movies coming at you
next week. We are doing finally, and I know we have so many friends who are excited about this. So many battle angels.
We're just gonna give away the bag. I didn't know we were doing this.
We're gonna get everyone excited and get their watching on for the month.
Well, good, because I'm gonna be surprised too at what we're doing.
Next week is gonna be practical fucking magic. Mm-hmm. Just me and Jason doing a throwdown on one of the greatest 90s witch movies of all time.
This movie literally, I know, everything saved my life. This movie has a very important, so many important memories in my life. And it really did save my life at one point when I first moved to New York. So, yes, it's...
So get your watch on with that. And then the week after that, we are doing the High Priestess Witch of all time.
Stevie Nicks. So Practical Magic into Stevie Nicks is the beyond segue because she obviously features prominently on that soundtrack. So we really
singing
just
two
expertly.
Iconic tracks.
And we've really lined this up, babe.
We're going to be joined by Mark Snyder, the host of a great podcast called All I Want to Do Is Talk About Madonna. So, which is definitely a very sister podcast to this podcast. So he's going to be on in 2 weeks. And then what are we closing out that Halloween month with?
How is that five podcasts?
It's four. I told you it was four.
No, you did not. You kept... See, here's what you do. This is a mystery. You're already starting me in a mystery, and I feel crazy.
Sorry.
Nick kept showing me with his hands. He kept going, five. It is five. And I said, and I kept saying, count them. Well, you heard it because I just said it 5 seconds ago.
Okay, so it's four, but the last one is so important. It feels
we
like
did
it five,
five last year, babe. That's what you're thinking.
Well, we tried to do five, but we had to cancel one because we had to cover the movie Judy.
That's right. That's what happened. That's what happened.
Because we're reporters.
We're reporters and we have to be on the ground. We have to be on the ground.
On the ground reporting.
Well, so we just keep the witchy theme going. We just keep the witchy theme straight steamrolling and we're doing a true classic, a true childhood classic of ours. One of my favorite writers of all time. We're doing The Witches.
The Witches with Angelica Houston, lead diva. And we thought we were going to get to do that new Anne Hathaway, which is with it, but we're not because all movies stopped coming out because
they don't release movies anymore. They don't release movies anymore on this earth. So we're saving that, but we're still going to be doing something we know and absolutely love.
Oh, obsessed with.
Yeah.
And okay, what other news? We have news. We have housekeeping to do. Oh, Patreon housekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. First of all, let's say thanks to Joe. I want to say thanks to Joe Reed for coming on last week to do the Hours and that beautiful, iconic episode. And if you haven't yet, we do the Hours Book Club on the Patreon right after that. And then next week, in 2 days from now, on the Patreon, we will be reviewing Bette Midler's new film, The Glorias. Hot off the presses, y'all. But the news is we're going to make this episode available to everyone. So if you aren't paying for the Patreon yet, you go to Patreon, you look us up, and this episode will be available to everybody because we know all of our Bette people, even if they don't want to give us $7 a month, are going to want to hear us gab about her as Bella Abzug. So we're super excited to watch the movie and talk at you about it.
Yeah, and you can get it. It's going to be on Amazon, so we all can watch this together.
So
you know,
get your mom's Amazon Prime login. Use that. Don't give
Lion
Amazon
King
money.
Julie Taymor directs it. It's a real diva centric film about an iconic diva. So it's a lot. It's a lot. This is going to be a major Patreon episode that we're doing
filled with women. It's going to make you just want to be on that Patreon every fucking week. So that's happening. Okay, so I have some diva news. So. My diva news is that I saw this fucking clip from the Kelly Clarkson show that just fucking epitomized the kind of strange, insane, dystopian timeline that we're in right now. So she has on Countess Luann de Lesseps, my girl from The Real Housewives of New York, my main squeeze, and she gets her digital audience. Have you seen her digital audience?
No.
So she has like these floating screens where her audience used to be. And it's people at home on their like Skype or their Zoom.
Yes.
And so they're kind of floating around. She has the digital audience and she gets all of them to dance and sing along to Feelin' Giovanni by Countess Luann. And it's like a fucking Black Mirror episode. It's so strange. I love Kelly Clarkson's show. I'm obsessed with it. I love that she's being innovative. But it was just... I just can't believe the weird horrorscape that we're being given for this Halloween month.
It's so scary. Okay, good. No, I do have diva news because if you want to if you want to add on to that kind of strange Black Mirror nightmare, then transition over to Drew Barrymore's talk show.
Yes, thank you. And I was hoping you would take it there.
It's in, I mean, there's been a lot of memes about it. I think a lot of people are kind of, it's, and I'm not here to like, to dump on this, but she is just bizarre. She does a thing called, I think, called Drew News. And just her, just line to line, her readings of it are so strange and so unexpected that it really does feel like you're getting thrown farther down a vortex. Such. And she also, I think, does some digital audience. Everyone's doing the, Ellen's doing a digital audience watching from home, clapping together. Yeah. It's it's a ton of frightening shit going on here. But yeah, so go to Kelly, this... stay for the Drew Barrymore. Just stay for the Drew Barrymore opener, because she does like a strange...
And skip the Ellen.
Oh, and yeah, skip the Ellen. But yeah. So...
Should we change Diva News to Drew News from now
Drew
on?
News, the Drew News? The Drew Report? The Drew Report?
We're going to bring you the Drew Report.
Gosh, talk shows. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Where are we going to go from those kind of very strange Zoom performances? You know, this was just the next step to like studio Zoom performances, I feel like.
Glenn Close playing Roy Cohn in Angels in America from her house in Montana.
Wait, is that real?
Yeah.
Bless. By yourself with no other people.
No, there are other. There's a whole other cast, but it's definitely like.
I'm so into that.
It's people are bored. People are bored. But if you're bored, you know what you can do?
What?
You can check out the new dating and social networking. Tammy.
I really thought you were going to promote us. I was like, what? Like, subscribe, download.
You can all do that too.
Episodes. But that's right. That's right. Hey, here comes our million-dollar podcast.
Come on, babe.
We got sponsored.
This episode is brought to you by Tammy. Tammy is the world's largest and most inclusive LGBTQ+ platform, featuring a social network and a dating service. It's like if Tinder and Instagram and Zoom and everyone just got together and had a queer, fun, brightly colored baby, and then turned that baby into an app.
It's a mashup, and it doesn't feel exclusive. It doesn't also feel like, I think a lot of these can feel like strictly dating, you know, which can be kind of intense and just one-sided. And this kind of opens it up. Like, you can kind of do more of a community-based a thing around it. And I'm really here for that. And I'm really here for the name Tammy, let me tell you. I love the name Tammy.
It's T-A-I-M-I. You can find it in the App Store or whatever thing you have. They also do this thing called Tammy Talks, which are like TED Talks, but with LGBTQ+ people. And Alyssa Edwards is about to do one, so I'm going to watch that. And I'm just mainly on because all of you know I'm like old-fashioned and partnered. But even if that's you and you don't use the dating apps, which I don't, you can just like go on and find friends or find other battle angels. You could just go to recruit for the Beth Army. That's all
like,
I'm doing.
Like I said, you also go to a community setting where you just like, where you kind of type in and ask questions, and who's ever in your area or how far wide you want that to be seen, people can kind of communicate with you. So it kind of brings in a lot of things into this one app, and it's exciting.
We're into innovative apps named after women.
Yeah. Tammy's a great name for a cat too, so I got to put that on my list.
Put that on your cat. You have
Tammy?
You have a really long cat name list.
Well, it's for when I have a lot of cats.
This show is supported by State Farm. Insurance is a part of any solid financial plan. Making sure you have the important things in life covered is one of the best ways to give yourself a little breathing room when things go awry. It's important to protect not only your business, but yourself as a business owner and all current and future team members. State Farm agents know what it takes to run and protect a small business, because State Farm agents are all small business owners and they live and work in your community. So they're deeply attuned to what's happening with other small businesses in your market. If you have a small business and are interested in making sure you're protected, reach out to your local State Farm agent to learn more about what you need. They'll help you find the right policy at the right price for your business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
So now, welcome Welcome to the episode, part three of My Favorite Murder, She Wrote.
Can I get you in the mood real quick?
Please get me in that mood, babe.
As I prepped you, I'm going to do a song and see how we take it. Maybe you can figure out how to put some music behind it. Okay. Are you ready? Maybe you can almost sing along with me. Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Cabot Cove. Nothing is real and nothing to get hung about. Cabot Cove forever.
Yes. Oh, we're going back into Cabot Cove.
We didn't have any trouble getting there next time. No.
We didn't
have not any, with that. Not
let me
with
say that again. We didn't have any trouble getting there this time. Let me tell you who else this is brought to you by. Fucking Peacock. NBC streaming service has all fucking 12 seasons of Murder, She Wrote streaming in full with very limited commercial interruptions, I have to say.
It's delicious. And in fact, I welcome those commercials so that I can take in the beauty, the splendor of being in Cabot Cove. I get a breath. I get to just like try to solve the mystery during. And they're
suspense.
Short.
Yeah. So the suspense builds over a commercial break. That's how it was built. That's but how the five-act structure of Murder, She Wrote was formed, honey.
This is what we've been living for. We've been waiting for if you've been with us this long, what are you doing with your life? But if you have been with us this long, you know that our last, it was a struggle. We shouldn't say that it's not a struggle yet. We don't know, babe.
Cabot Cove is an elusive place. You all know it's like Brigadoon. It appears, it disappears. It's there for you. It's not there for you.
And sometimes we get into heaven, and sometimes we get thrown out. So we just hope that this is going to be our one and only try, but we're prepared for it not to be our one and only try. We're also doing something that I think is very suspicious. We're doing something with the name Curse in it.
That's right. Season 8, episode 12, The Witch's Curse. If you're one of those queens who has to do that, you can pause the episode now, pause this episode right now, turn on the episode and listen to us while it happens. That might be fun.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Do it like double time? Do it double time? Kind
do
of like
at the same time.
Kind of like what is that when I've never done it. Maybe I'll do it. I don't know. Putting Pink Floyd over Wizard of Oz?
No, thanks.
You never done that? You never heard about that?
I don't want him singing over Judy Garland. Ugh.
I don't know why I thought maybe it was they didn't sing. Never done it. But it's supposed
Judy
to
Garland
sync
and
up.
Carnegie Hall on over Wizard of Oz. How about that?
Well, so fine. You can put these hymns over a very sacred thing.
And, no, don't do that. But yes, we're doing The Witch's Curse. And so if this is your first time with us on My Favorite Murder, She Wrote, a huge inspiration for our podcast for the girls that you're listening to was the iconic podcast, My Favorite Murder. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't listened to that, do it. It's amazing. It's hosted by Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Herdstark, and they each tell each other the story of a murder every episode. So on a My Favorite Murder, She Wrote, Jason and I each tell each other half of the same murder from a Murder, She Wrote episode.
And if Are you, you don't us? Think that that's going to take over 2 hours, you're wrong. You're very, Incorrect. Very wrong. It's just as long as one of the normal episodes of My Favorite Murder where they say two murders. We're just doing one. And
it's a fictional, and it was on CBS in the 90s. It doesn't matter.
But we will be exhaustive in our details of it because, again, this is our favorite, one of our favorite places to live. It's a calming circle for us, and we love to be in part of a calming circle. Nick, can I ask you a first question before we start this podcast?
Please.
What would be the worst witch's curse you could receive?
Ooh, worst witch's curse I could receive would be only to listen to men sing for the rest of my life.
Oh, really?
I don't know. It's just the first thing that came to mind.
Just anytime you put on your headphones, it's a hymns. It's a hymns tune.
Like I'm just. It's just
you can't turn it
hymns.
Off.
It's only. Yeah, hymns. That does, what about you?
That actually. Oh well, so
it shows how privileged my ass is. That's
well,
the
but that
thing
does sound like a
me.
Curse. That's a curse. That's a curse. I would say probably my biggest curse would be to be ugly. I have so many friends in my life who are that, and not a judgment, like just more of a fact. And I see how they are. Do you know what I mean? And I thought, I just think, what a curse, you know?
Exactly. I know.
The curse of not being attractive. It just seems awful. I just wouldn't know what to do with myself. What if this is the only episode someone listens to and this is the picture I paint of myself? Jesus.
You are beautiful. I'm not going to disagree with anything you're saying. I'm just going to set you up because you're starting. I just want to remind everybody, when the world is getting you down, if you're finding this world troublesome, you just need to head straight to Cabot Cove. So I'm going to need you to close your eyes and imagine yourself on a bicycle coming down a hill with a light autumn breeze going through your hair. There is no climate change. There is no global pandemic. There is no fascism. There is no injustice. There are only bicycles, lobster traps, chunky wool sweaters, and fucking murders.
Lots of murders, but it's safe. It's still a very safe place. This is the balm of our soul. There's also no people of color in this town, so that would be the only thing that we would like to add is some diversity to our gorgeous heaven of Cabot Cove.
That's true. We need to add some major diversity to that, but
okay. Oh, safe space. Okay, breathe in. Breathe out. Here I am. Oh, I can feel the ocean breezes. Whew, I can feel it. Oh, when they do those ocean shots, I can hear the bells. I can hear the bells ring. Church just let out.
Can you hear a little song playing?
And I'm on my bike like a witch. Dun 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 dun.
How can one song, one piece of music, both calm and exhilarate the human soul at the same time?
That would be the mystery we'll unpack for the rest of our lives until we truly do enter the blue seas of Cabot Cove.
When we die.
And then, okay, so my first thing that I wrote is, okay, I'm going first. I typed that out just so I knew what was happening.
Your week to go first.
My week to go first.
Steven!
And I wrote that this opening is very interesting. This opening is very different from what we normally get in our cool Cabot Cove. By that, I mean there are drawings of a pilgrim woman tied to the stake on fire. And
I am innocent. I will prove it. The God must return from the grave itself. Watch for me in storm wind and in fire, in death and pain for those who have accused me.
Well, how would you describe these drawings? Water painting? Would you describe them?
They're definitely a watercolor. Watercolors on parchment. Yeah, animated, slightly animated watercolors on parchment as we're hearing some very scary readings of transcripts from the Salem witch trials or some kind of witch trials.
Some transcript, but she says, watch me in storm, wind, and fire, pain and death. And I wrote 666, burn locals of Cabot Cove. Damn, this is some scary stuff. Am I wrong? It was scary. Yeah,
it was scary.
And then boom, as if you threw a fireball and everything explodes. What's the next scene? It's with Dr. Seth. Who knew? Who knew, Mama, that he wasn't just a doctor?
He's not. Dr. He's Seth not. Hazlitt is not just a doctor. What does he moonlight on in the evenings?
He moonlights in what I would consider one of the strangest small town theaters I've ever seen in my life. In fact, it kind of looked like one of our residences' living rooms. Very strange if you were trying to parse where the stage was, where the seats go. But he's... Well,
it's like an old town hall, I think.
Oh, I get the vibe. Okay, here we go. Which is why we have to work this out. We have to work this mystery out.
There's some pews. It's like an old-timey town hall that they're using now as the community theater.
And what is he auditioning for? An unnamed witch's play?
Yes, it's auditions.
Auditions. Audition night for this unnamed witch's play. And and so Nick and I, this is our diva. We were considering going back to the well of one of our main divas, and we were not prepared. And I had to text Nick, clutch your pearls, honey, because who comes along for the auditions? Who is one of our main Cabot Cove ladies. Queen Slut herself, Evie Simpson.
The whore of Babylon, Evie Simpson, is auditioning.
I ask only that each year, rose petals be left on my grave in testimony to innocent blood shed by this court.
But the thing that is fucked up first, though, is that another woman named Penelope wants to audition for this main witch part.
Penelope.
And Dr. Seth is fucking
rude.
Dr. Seth is fucking rude to Penelope.
Ah, yes, Penelope. I thought we had agreed that you would be playing Rachel's mother.
And I was like, Dr. Seth's about to get murdered by Queen Penelope.
I know. I'm like, Dr. Seth, how old? Well, because she wants to audition for Rachel Abbott. And I guess Rachel Abbott was a young, fine thing. But then he lets Evie Simpson. Evie Simpson has that.
She wants Eve Simpson to audition for this part of the main witch. But that's because she always has that after sex glow because she's just been freshly fucked.
I have to say she kills it. She kills this. She kills the acting. And she knows her power because then she's like, listen.
Do with me as thou wilt. I don't suppose I could play with this a little. You know, make it mine, update it a bit. It's just that, well, I'm much better at modern drama.
Because what? What could she do?
Blanche DuBois, baby!
I could do a Blanche DuBois that'll curl your hair.
Because that's just perfect. Duh. Duh. And so Seth is like, fine.
So
fine,
there's
fine.
This whole artistic battle between Evie Simpson, who is a method actress who wants to improvise her way, and Dr. Seth Hazlitt, who's more of the, I would say, the Laurence Olivier school. Of just fucking bark out the lines for me, please.
Yeah, he has a vision. He wants to get it done. But too bad that vision is disrupted by what, bitch? A storm? Hello? Do you remember in the opening? A storm blows the doors open.
Sorry. The wind caught the door. Is this where the auditions are being held?
And who's standing in the doorframe but a B-list Barbara Hershey? Is that not Barbara Hershey right near the death scene of Beaches? I'm not even kidding you. I was like, this is her stand-in for when she's like, I don't want to lay in this deathbed
anymore.
That
is Mary Crosby from Dallas, and she is playing Mariah Osborne, who may or may not be an actual witch, who just blew in from Cabot Cove and is like, oh, did you need someone to audition for the part of this witch?
And then Miss Eve is like,
Mariah, hi. She just rented the old Walker place from me.
The old Walker place. Which everyone's like, I don't know how anyone lives there. It's so dusty.
And then Maria's like, this is her real, one of my favorite lines. This is what I'm going to say to all my tricks.
It's my needs perfectly. I like bringing old things to life.
Don't worry, Daddy. I got you. I like to bring old things to life and then do a little dance. Yeah. But it's very clear that kind of people are like, oh, she's going to be the lead. She's got to be like, she's looking real right for Rachel. So we have to try her out, right? We have to try her. We have
she's
to get
sexy.
Her in
she
the
has
mix.
Long black hair. She's in all black. She's looking like a fucking extra from The Craft.
She's got those Barbara lips on lock. I'm serious.
Barbara high cheekbones.
I'm serious. And so they're like, let's try it out. And then who is our first main OG battle angel who comes in to audition with her? Marion Seldes, her freaking.
Marion. Motherfucking star of stage and screen and Mona Lisa Smile Seldes.
Like,
one of the
iconic.
Great divas of all time is playing.
Taught at your alma mater, in fact.
Called Lydia Winthrop, but she's playing the character in this scene of Goody Butler.
And again, right? Marion taught at your alma mater. I just found that out.
She did, yeah. She taught at Juilliard. She did. She was an acting teacher there forever. But she's playing Goody Butler because they could not get the fucking rights to The Crucible or didn't want to pay for the rights to The Crucible for this episode.
And so here comes Lydia and Mariah instantly. And I found this to be such an intense move. And I love how it keeps coming back. But Mariah was like, she's like, Mama, I need to borrow that shawl off your shoulders. I know I just literally blew into town, but that shawl is what's going to give me the power to act the pants off of this scene.
Oh, may I borrow that? I suppose, yes.
Thank you. And Lydia's like, okay. But it proves right, because she's also just a great, everyone's a great actor in the Cobbett Cove. It turns out, like, that is a thespian town.
It's a huge thespian town. Absolutely.
People are shooketh by her skills. And in the next scene,
I mean, she auditions so well, she makes the bells on the fucking tower ring.
The crime before heaven will be so great that all the bells in all the steeples will ring out to proclaim my innocence.
Uh-huh. And everyone's like, what is going on? She might be magic. Maybe it's magic. Maybe it's Maybelline. I don't know what's happening with Mariah Osborne.
Bringing old things back to life. Those old bells never did ring until Marion steps into town. And so the next scene we see, we're at a diner. I wish I could know the name of this diner. Here's the thing that I love about this show. I love the town. I love every scene of the town. I love knowing the names of the places. We don't get to know this diner that Jess and Seth are at. That's fine. They're also off with police officer Mort. And Seth is just like being like, y'all don't even know. She is a full-blown witch. I think she's a witch. Mort's like, get your head checked. You're crazy.
Too bad the last time we did this, I thought his name was Sheriff Matt, and I think I called him Sheriff Matt the whole episode, and in my notes, I still call him Sheriff Matt.
That's funny, because I was just going to write his name as Sheriff, or like police officer, and I was like, okay, what is his name? It's Mort. They go through a couple of main police officers.
There's
through
two.
Cobbett Cove. Okay. But, you know, it's a lot, though. That's a lot.
It's almost as many Halloween episodes as we're doing.
I mean, there's also your hottie, Andy. How long does Andy stay? Who knows? I don't want to look some of this stuff up, because I want to, like, I'm never going to look up how much our Queen of Babylon, Eve Simpson, is in, because I just always want to be surprised.
10 episodes.
No, I just told you I don't want to look it up. I want to be surprised.
Too bad. Surprise.
No.
I also dove deep into her IMDb this morning, and she made like 600 westerns from like 1948 to 1960.
Well, when we run out of things to do,
Her name is Julie Adams, and she's iconic. Bless her. Okay, so they're having coffee. Seth Hazlitt is freaking out about Mariah Osborne being a witch.
And being perfect for the role.
She even looks like Rachel Abbott. And when those bells went off, what? Chill went right up my spine. It was downright uncanny.
And Jess, you know what? Jess is kind of like being like, okay, like, let's not jump to judgment. Like, you know, Rachel's the role. Like, just because the role is a witch doesn't mean that Mariah is a witch.
Well, when the wind whipped up, it caused the bells to chime. I mean, it's happened before.
Jessica understands acting. She understands the difference between a character and a real person, that someone can play a witch and not be a witch. Jessica knows these things.
And so then the next scene, which is my favorite scene, is Jessica walking at the courthouse around books. If you really want to just pause right here in the episode while you're watching it, just luxuriate in just investigating books, because that's very tranquil to me. And then she hears like a little, you know, I don't know, witchy talk.
In fire and in storm wind, in death and in pain, for those who have accused me unjustly, though hell itself bar the way.
Hello.
And who's there, girl? Who's in the Congress of Libraries?
You must be Mariah Osborne.
Fucking Mariah Balenciaga Osborne.
Mariah Balenciaga.
Book open.
And she's like, I'm doing research for the role. Like, I really want to know how these witches were burned. It's going to help me in this community play that, again, still has no title. We don't really understand what she's doing. And this is where I'm like,
Untitled. It's called Untitled Witch Project, conceived and directed by Dr. Seth Hazlitt.
That's the whole title. That's like, that's the whole conceived title. And directed is actually still part of the title. It's not like in parentheses.
Totally.
And then this is where I'm like, oh, Mariah just has a very intense flirty energy, because this is one of the first times I've seen someone seemingly flirt with Jessica, and it's the witch Mariah. Did you not get this vibe?
The witch Mariah flirts with everybody.
But even Jess.
I think this town has a penchant for ganging up on innocent people. A story like this, who knows what it might call out of the shadows.
It was a pleasure meeting you, Mrs. Fletcher.
And so I was kind of, I clutched, that was like one of my pearl clutches, as I was like, whoa, this is like really stepping over the line, flirting with Jess. Okay, you guys with us? This is like minute four in the show, so buckle up, babes. Okay, so that's our introduction with Jessica and the Witch Mariah. And the next scene is the Witch Mariah. It turns out that not only did she audition with the shawl, she kept the shawl and took it home. Because that's what you
it
do,
happens
right?
At community theater. You get too into the character, you take your shawl home.
You take someone else's, like, shawl back with you because you're possessed by your acting abilities. So she has to bring that back to Lydia. And she's returning the
you
shawl.
You mean Goody Butler.
Goody Butler, Lydia Seldes.
She has to take, yes, Goody Butler's shawl back to her house.
And who opens the door but a wheelchair bound husbear who she instantly is like, baby, I see you cramping, and so I'm going to perform some of my Reiki on this. And
she does a full Reiki session on Goody Husband.
Let me see what I can do about that. Just breathe deeply. Think of cool water flowing lightly over the pain. Cool, soothing water.
It's great. It feels wonderful.
Honey, while that was happening, I was lighting my cinnamon mulled cider candle, disgusto, and just really living my life. I could smell that Reiki from here. And
you could smell that foot. So this husband has a cast on his foot.
He does. And then Lids is like, Lids Goody is like, what's happening? That helmet Bob that she has on is iconic.
That Marion Seldes. Okay, so yes. It's Marion Seldes as Goody Butler, like, comes in the room and she's like, whoa, this lady is giving Reiki to my husband's foot.
Yes, I would imagine so. Have another one of your attacks, darling.
Yes, the muscle spasm that happened before, about.
Yes, I know. It must hurt terribly. Well, we won't distract you further.
I love that you don't want to call her by the other character name, Lydia.
They called her Goody Butler.
You're
going to
fuck
so
many
people
up.
I was just obsessed with Goody Butler.
But also, isn't Lydia such an iconic witch name, too? And she also looks like a witch in this episode. And I said that hair. I don't know. She's iconic. She's iconic. Are we bringing back iconic? Saying that again?
Sure,
why not? Everything's dying. And so she's like, Mariah, I want you to die while you are just like raking my husband.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And then she gets the shawl back. And as Lids is leaving, no, not Lids, as Mariah is leaving, she sees that broken foot husband is putting something in the safe. And the safe is above the fireplace. Suspect. Why? Mm-hmm. Why did you put your safe there? So, what's happening? This is when we're starting to figure out something's happening. Not like we didn't figure out when the storm blew up. Something's afoot.
Something's a broken foot.
Something's a witch's stump is what that is.
Take me to the witch's stump. Do you think that Mariah, when she blew into town, immediately went to the witch's stump and prayed at it?
Oh, she full got on that witch's stump, if you know what I mean. And so then it's night and we see a window breaking. And it's at Miss Goody's house. What's happened? The next day, the Sheriff Mort shows up with your boo bear. I'm finally on the board. Andy's hot. Andy's a hottie.
Yeah, Deputy Andy is hot.
Fact. We have a fact here. And you know, he's giving me that kind of 80s porn vibe. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. He and Sheriff Matt could really rock a daddy son porno video.
Okay, so is it Sheriff Matt? Wait,
no,
do you want?
Mort. I like to call him Sheriff Matt.
We are the name game here, girl. We are just it's called the bag. We're just pulling from it because we got a lot of it. And if you think again, we've just started, so there's gonna be, and once Nick's section takes over, so many more names are coming out. So Sheriff Mort shows up and he's like, okay, what's going on? Like, this is very weird.
And you're sure that nothing was missing?
Well, as far as we can tell. I can only guess that whoever it was heard Lydia coming down the stairs and ran off.
Did anyone else have access to the safe or know where it is?
I don't think so.
The safe is broken, but nothing's missing. And I still cannot figure this out. He's like, rose petals. There's rose petals everywhere.
Well, if you would have been paying attention to the witch's speech.
Of course, Rachel Abbott loves to talk about throwing rose petals on the dead, mama. I do get that.
I ask only that each year rose petals be left on my grave.
And so they're kind of like, what happened? Have you guys seen any visitors? And, you know.
You know, there was.
Mariah
Osborne.
Right. Yesterday we had a visit from that new woman in town, Mariah Osborne.
And so this is where they go to what I think is so far one of my favorite houses in Cobbett Cove. They go to the house that Mariah's renting.
The Walker Place.
The Walker Place.
So you know the Walker Place is actually the set of the Munsters?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, because that's so funny because they were, oh, that's so funny. Look at you and your facts, mama. Because they were like, this is the, because Hottie Andy was like, this looks like the Addams Family house. So I guess it kind of was the Addams Family house. And so they go into the house and it is, she has not uncovered any of her furniture. So it's all covered in that spooky tarp, like white tarp look. And there is just some random cauldrons on tables, a bubble bubbling.
Two cauldrons bubbling.
Not a word, Andy. Not one word.
like, yes, yes, okay.
And one black cat.
And one black cat runs by. I think like as the grocer of Cobbett Cove, this is a house that I would want to live on. I could see myself having such great parties here, having orgies with Eve here. You know what I mean? Just hosting a bunch of
fun stuff. You and
Eve
just setting up a bukkake.
Yeah, just a room. Yeah, so I would if Mariah, you know, doesn't want to rent it, I think I would own this house. I really feel very attached to this house. And they're basically just like, we think you're a witch. And we, you know, are really getting suspicious of you. And the next thing,
you're giving us some major witch vibes.
You're giving us, you're just upping that witch idea that we have right now. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but and so the next scene, they're in the police office where Jessica's just chilling. This is what I love about Jess. She's just having, Nick and I are debating, is it tea, is it coffee? We don't know, but she's drinking something, popping hot at the police station.
She's enjoying a warm beverage at the police station because she is a deputized police officer.
What do you think, Mrs. Fletcher?
And she's here's my thing. She's a gossip queen. And later on, she kind of comes down on the gossip.
Incorrect.
I know. You know, she is a gossip queen. She gossips about death, and I'm never going to let someone tell me wrong.
I wrote down right here, Jess hates gossip.
I wrote
and
that too.
And then I wrote, Jason, bitch, reconcile this with yourself.
I wrote that too. So here I go.
Word of mouth is notoriously suspect.
So Jess does try to dispel some of the gossip. She's like, y'all, I saw Jess buying some tarnish remover, and I think she was just bubbling those brass doorknobs. Also, Jess, you're doing a lot of work on Mariah, you're doing a lot of work in a house you don't own, but Jess is like, listen, let me dispel some of this stuff you're saying. So I get that she's not, you know.
And she says that.
I happen to think that eccentricity is a virtue.
That's my favorite line. That's my favorite line. And then she says,
word of mouth is notoriously suspect.
I'm going to turn that into your ringtone.
Word of mouth. But you know what? No one's going to prove me wrong because I'm like, yes, yes, Jess. And I do have to sit with my morals now because like you are my holy Bible, but we all have different interpretations of the Bible. And I think everyone does cherry pick from what they believe in. And I do want to say, but Jess, I do think you gossip about death, honey. Like you do, even though, you know, you are trying to do it for the greater good. It's still, you still get in there. You're still in there. And so then the next scene is at another, place of work, place business, which is the insurance, which is Cobbett Cove's insurance agency. And Mariah's being yet again adding another notch to her witch belt by wanting some fire insurance.
And because the house is so old, you can see why I might be concerned about fire.
She's getting some fire insurance and flirting like like flirting like hell with this insurance broker.
But it would be very comforting to me if you could come by sometime and inspect the premises, the wiring, the plumbing. You seem like a man who'd be very thorough.
Yes, this was a very soft core episode for me and a lot of the scenes.
Yeah, it was turning me on.
Yeah, and she's like, hey, I also have to ask you a question.
And a history of the place would also help.
Excuse me?
Well, the condition of the house is bound to be changed by any past fires that may have happened.
I don't have the records. They're in my shed, which was also very interesting. And but then afterwards, she's like, okay, but I think you should come by. As she's leaving, who comes in? Who crosses her path to get another kind of insurance?
Goody Butler.
Miss Goody.
Well, I was just taking Charles to the doctor down the street, and I thought after that break-in last night, I'd just drop in and discuss increasing my insurance.
And Miss Goody's like, I gotta up it, because someone broke into my house and stole nothing, and I need to up the game here. Jess and Seth then see Mariah outside. Again, an outside scene in Cabot Cove. Give me life, please.
I love this scene. I love this scene.
And Mariah, what does Mariah say?
Mariah has a station wagon, and this is a softer Mariah.
This is a softer Mariah. And Jess is like, girl, what's up?
Hello, Mrs. Fletcher.
Hello, Mariah. How are you?
Fine, considering no one in town will talk to me, at least not the women.
And Jess is like, oh, honey.
Well, you know, New Englanders are notorious for taking their time to warm up to newcomers. I lived here for 10 years, and some people still refer to me as the
Which
new
I love.
Woman
That's
town.
Some biography that we didn't have.
I didn't even know that. I was how did everyone not? How was there a time so long ago?
300 years ago.
Didn't walk among us.
Well, yes. Even God is new at some point, babe. Ooh, that's a beautiful statement. I'm now for sure going to get into Cabot Cove if I just keep making beautiful statements like that. I love that this is turning into like my mental delusion that if I don't do this right, I'm going to be banned.
The doors to Cabot Cove will not open to you. The lovely little wrought iron gates won't just clinkle clankle open for you.
No, but I do love that. Like, you know, it kind of calls out the Greek chorus that we do know of Cabot Cove of like, you know, some of these ladies, they can be intense.
You've got Penelope. You've got Eve Simpson. You've got Sally Struthers. You've got all the ladies who live in the town.
You've got goody good two shoes.
Goody Butler,
Linda Blair. And then the next scene, well, we didn't see this one coming, did we, kids? That shed that holds all of Cabot Cove's outdated insurance policies has been set aflame. And I love this punk ass scene. On that
shit is on fire.
That is some death metal on fire shit because it's burning. And on top of it, they've spray painted a pentagram. Ooh.
That's right. I want everyone listening to this show to spray paint something with a pentagram and then set it on fire for Halloween.
We get sued for inciting.
No, seriously, don't commit any arson, please. But they're like, oh, gee, I wonder who could have done this.
Yeah, and like, again, who do you point to? You know, the scapegoat, the woman, the witch. Like,
okay, so Penelope is there. Is Penelope the wife of the insurance guy?
I don't think so. I think she's just
She was
a
just
Greek
walking
chorus.
By.
She's just walking by, and she has to reiterate, storm, wind, and fire, pain and death.
When she was convicted of witchcraft, Rachel Abbott said she would return in storm, wind, and in fire, in pain, and in death. Well, Mariah Osborne arrived in storm, wind. There's your fire.
I was like, damn, Cabot Cove bitches are harsh.
They're very harsh, babe. They're very harsh. They're very nosy.
They've got paradise to protect.
They have paradise to protect. They're very protective, too. So you have to understand that, like, they're looking out for all of, you know, in the end, they are... They're trying to understand the common good, and they are gossiping. So that's right. Like, you can be a worshiper, and then you can also do your own thing. That's how we read this Bible. Like, we take.
I don't think so. I don't think. They're
a storm, wind, and fire, pain, and death.
Watch for me in storm, wind, and fire, in death and pain for those who have accused.
And now we're back to the play rehearsal. Ooh, and this gets intense. This is where we're really going
to
be showing you some monologues.
Before we get back to the play rehearsal, let me ask you a question. What? Do you think J.B. Fletcher has ever been in one of Dr. Seth's plays. And if you could cast her in a play at the community theater, what play would it be?
Well, I think I would cast her. Well, first off, and I feel like she's written a lot of plays for Seth.
Fuck yeah. That's so smart.
I think that she can, like, if he can't get material, she turns it out real quick. And she kind of does actually the directing. Like, she sits behind and really does tell people, you know, she thinks she kind of fake gives him the power. That's what God does, right? We think we have control of our lives, but we don't. We give it up to her. Like, that's what we do.
We give it up to her.
Yeah. So
she has a plan.
Everything I do through her. And so that's what I would think.
Under her eye.
And so I don't know about the play. What fantasy do you have? A one-man Death of a Salesman? Sorry, mm-hmm. Jessica Fletcher.
I mean, I just want to see her and Dr. Seth's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
You know what I want to see? Arsenic and Old Lace. Give me Arsenic and Old Lace.
I would actually kill to see Angela Lansbury's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. She would have done that in like the 60s, that would have been fucking hot. She would have killed it.
We talk a lot about Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, but I on this podcast, but I think what she does, what I think can sometimes lack in Martha and people performing Martha is sympathy.
Yeah.
And I think Angela Lansbury could really give that gravitas.
That's what Kathleen Turner did when I saw Kathleen Turner. I saw Kathleen Turner do it three times.
Honey. Okay, so here's the big monologue.
We're back to play practice.
Lydia Goody is talking, is in the scene with Mariah. And then Mariah is just like, she kind of one ups our harlot Evie by going off script and just kind of just saying a real witchy monologue.
I am possessed of a comely face and a healthy body. For these alone, I am condemned by one who seeks to keep what she has by destroying another. A small-minded, bitter woman whose soul is as barren as...
Snotty, I beg your...
improvising a full witchy monologue about what she thinks about Goody Butler's character. And Goody Butler is like,
I beg your...
And she's like, bitch.
And Mariah's like, oh, sorry, I was just making stuff up.
She's like, I just wanted it to be more authentic or whatever. And Seth is like losing his mind. He's like, I should have just had Jess write this. Like, this is horrible. And then but who else is in the freaking play? Everyone in the town is in this play, I'll tell you that much.
Fuck yeah, they are. It's a good play. It's one of Dr. Seth's theatrical creations.
The one under the age of 50. No one under the age of 50 is for sure in this play. I mean, I guess Mariah.
No one under the age of 50 lives in Cabo Cove.
No, they don't. They don't. You can't.
It's a retirement community.
50 to 3,000 is the kind of, is the age range that they're in. and so there's the judge.
The judge. Playing the judge.
Playing the judge. Playing the
and
judge.
And now, what kind of face do they say that Rachel has?
A face to kill?
No.
Of a comely face and a healthy body.
Mm.
Just like you and Evie Simpson are going to have after you host your bukkake.
A comely party. Eve selfie with our comely faces. Ooh, who knocked over my cauldron? naughty.
Okay, so the judge is digging Rachel's comely face.
He's digging Rachel's comely face, and she turns it on. She turns those witchy snake eyes onto the judge.
Although, I must confess, if you were the magistrate and I was Rachel, I might find the decision a little more difficult to make.
And now I bow out. And I open my prayer book to you, and I allow you to write in it, my child of Cobbett Cove.
It's the book of the beast. It's in my hands now. The judge. Okay, so after Rachel is all flirting with the judge, who sees that? But Penelope and Goody Butler, and they're in the corner, and they're whispering and pointing to it. So then the judge goes out to his car. And what does he find in his car? But a note, and he picks it up and it says, Judgy, come to the bell tower at midnight. Hearts, nasty. Mariah Osborne. And so the judge is like got a full chubby at this point, and he like goes off. So later that night, he's at the bell tower. No one else is around in Cobbett Cove. He goes in. What does he see? Iconic rose petals kind of strewn everywhere. So he follows the trail of rose petals up the bell tower, and he's standing there, and he's like,
come on now. Enough games. Where are you?
And he turns and smiles, and then all of a sudden, this figure with long black hair shoves his ass right out that window. With that black hair that they show on this person, there are only two people who could be the murderer at this point. It's either Mariah Osborne, the witch who blew into town, or Cher herself. So right now, I only have two fucking suspects. Okay, so then we have a little commercial, and then we're back. Jessica's iconically at the crime scene because that's where she is supposed to be. And she is not convinced by Sheriff Matt that Mariah is the killer.
Sheriff, I realize that I am in a shrinking minority, but I have to remind you that Rachel Abbott and Mariah Osborne are not the same person.
So they go over to Mariah's house to investigate her about murdering the judge. And Jessica's there and she finds Mariah's photo album.
Now this was, oh, no gossip. Like the Bible doesn't say gossip. Okay, but does the Bible say, you know
go
what I mean?
People's journals?
Exactly. So this is what I'm saying here, babe. I'm just saying,
so Jess
like,
sees
complex.
These news articles from the 1960s and some pictures of another woman with black hair and a comely face. So they're like, what's going on? And Sheriff Matt has that note and he's like,
Ms. Osborne, I don't know how to say this, but these two look a lot alike.
And Mariah's like, boo, that's not my handwriting. And he's like, it looks just like it. And then Jess is like, hold up. Because she's a motherfucking handwriting expert. That's right. I want you to say fuck you to Sherlock Holmes. Fuck you to that mustache man who Kenneth Branagh plays in those movies. Fuck you to Jerry Orbach. Jessica Fletcher has all the skills that all those other men
judge,
have.
Jury, authoritarian, handwriting expert.
Handwriting expert. Jess is like, if you see here, the O swoops to the left and the S is in the classic gerrymandered position or something. I don't know. She starts using terms. She's a genius.
Oh, no. No, several of these letters are quite different. I mean, the lateral loop on the Y here is missing. Oh, and the S slants off to the right in this one. It slants off to the left in this one.
Yes.
And then Mort's so stupid. He's like, well, you could fake the handwriting. No, you can't. Jessica has told you you can't do that.
Just
like, that's not
listen,
happening.
Sheriff Matt, just chill out. And so Jessica is like, gets Sheriff Matt, because iconically doesn't drive. She gets Sheriff Matt to drive her to the clerk's office where she had been before. Do you think Jessica doesn't drive because she doesn't want to contribute to climate change?
Yeah, and I think if we don't see Jessica driving, she's flying. I think that that's like kind of the unspoken code.
Or just teleporting.
Yes, yeah. Okay. She's just there. Like that's, you know, it's kind of the thing. It's like when you're walking, how are you walking in the sand with you? You know what I mean? Oh, because I was carrying you.
Yes, that is what it's, I forget. Thank you. So we're at the clerk's office and there's this iconic woman playing this clerk who I love. And Jessica's looking for
People versus Monica Walker.
Because that's the case she saw in Miss Mariah Osborne, the witch's secret book. And oh, what do you know?
Fletcher, I'm sorry, but it looks as if all of the copies of People versus Monica Walker are missing.
You mean they've been checked out?
No, I mean missing.
Boom. Jessica's like, well, that's a clue.
Yeah, what did she say? No, she's like,
just an interesting coincidence. I just came from the Cabot Cove Gazette, and their archives are missing an entire volume. 1 year, 1967.
She's like, also the other library. It turns out Cabot Cove has two libraries. Two places
well, this
of
is
record.
The clerk's office versus the library.
Oh. They're different.
I think I'm going to work at the library in Cabot Cove while you're being the clown who works in the grocery store. Because if I'm at the library, I can maybe A, work there with Laura Brown from The Hours, and B, maybe help Jessica with the Dewey Decimal System.
Yes, and I also think one of your specialties is loading them up on the newspaper project. I think like you're the only person that can put the newspapers into those big projection machines that you
I
sit
down
with.
I love those machines.
Yes, my favorite.
I love those machines.
My favorite.
Okay, so Jess has Seth over for dinner, and she uses her secret weapon of coffee to get him to spill the.
What does the name Monica Walker mean to you?
I have a question for you on this scene. Again, okay. Any details you can give me, we don't get this detail, so I have to ask you to fill it in for me. The way that we do the Bible. Sometimes the Bible doesn't make sense. We have to add words. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you to add these words. What did she cook for Seth? What was the magic yummy food that Seth fills, that she fills Seth's body with?
Pot roast.
Pot roast. Yes.
Obviously. Delicious. Obviously roast. A delicious slow cooked pot roast that she's just like doing all day. And some lovely little potatoes.
With
gorgeous.
With some red cooking wine in there that just let it simmer. Mm-hmm.
And then just like a mixed vegetable medley that she just kind of grabbed out of the freezer. Because it's just Seth. Anyway, she wants to know who the F Monica Walker was. And Seth gets, I mean, this is a horny episode. Seth gets pretty excited about talking about Monica Walker.
She was a lovely young thing, long black hair, and eyes as clear and blue as the sea.
And the scandal?
Oh, well, that was a tragedy, no mistake. About 25 years ago, she worked for Lydia and Charles Winthrop as his secretary. Well, one day, she was arrested for stealing a very expensive diamond necklace from Lydia's bedroom. She was convicted and spent 5 years in the state penitentiary at Hatfield.
Oh, my goodness. How devastating for her family.
I guess so.
Which is intense, right? Five intense. Years in the county diamond jail is a lot of time.
It's a lot. So Jess goes over to Goody Butler's house to ask about this whole fucking situation. And Goody Butler is like,
I knew that Osborne woman was trouble the minute I laid eyes on her. No one's going to feel safe in this town until she's arrested.
And Jess is like, well, what about your secretary? Do you remember your secretary, Monica Walker?
Didn't you have some problem a few years back with some jewelry being stolen?
Yes, it was a necklace. Charles had given it to me. A secretary in our employ, Monica Walker, stole it. We were never able to recover it.
And Goody Butler is like, yeah, I remember her. She stole my necklace. And Jess is like,
you have some lovely pieces.
Thank you. You know, this ring has been in my family for two generations.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And Jess is like, okay, I'm going to go now that I've
clock,
heard all that
clock,
bullshit.
Clock.
Clocked it. And as she leaves, did you think there was something weird about this guy in the wheelchair kept standing up?
Yes, I did.
Like, yes, it was one of the red herrings. Murder, She Wrote has red herrings because this guy keeps standing up from his wheelchair and then Jess catches him standing up from his wheelchair because Jess iconically...
Is he putting something...
Pulled the old I forgot my purse move.
Just forgot my bag.
And then Jess asks...
Charles, do you remember who the prosecutor was on the Monica Walker case?
Well, that was Judge Clinton. He wasn't a judge then. He was, as you said, a prosecutor. They made him a circuit court judge. I think it was the next year.
Yes, of course. Thank you, Charles.
So, iconically, Jess is like, I've got to get to the crime scene. Just, the bottom of this.
Boom, I'm just going to walk right in to where a horrific, pushed out of a bell tower crime scene. No caution tape.
But before she does that, she puts on the most iconic red zippy sweater of all time.
Gorgeous. She looks great in red.
She looks so good in like a full ass fire engine red. I can't even talk about it. Mm-hmm. So she gets over there and she sees the insurance salesman guy who lost his beloved pentagram ridden shed. And she's like,
what's up, bitch? Why are we all here?
What are you doing up here?
Well, I was just about to ask you the same question.
Another red herring, this guy.
This guy definitely was giving me like, who are you? I almost felt like it was like one too many people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, this episode is packed and like packed. All Murder, She Wrote episodes filled with intrigue and confusion. So she's like, hey, what do you think happened here? And he's like, oh, he probably fell out.
This scene gives me the giggles.
And then Jess is like, no, he would need to be pushed out, probably by someone pretty strong.
Someone must have pushed him. Someone fairly strong.
And the guy was like, no, back up to here and then run at me. And you can see how you can actually knock someone off of a fucking bell tower.
Yeah.
An old man off a bell tower.
Luckily, he did tell her to go back there because what does she see? Long strands of black hair that got caught on a nail.
So what does it all mean?
Well, I'll let you know as soon as I work it all out.
Now, normal pedestrians would be like, oh gosh, I gotta call the police. But when you're God herself,
you take the evidence from the crime scene with your bare two fingers and you put it in your handkerchief and pop that in your purse. And then you fucking get the fuck over to your friend Sheriff Matt's fucking office with the long black hairs.
And you wiggle it in their face and like, I found this.
I found this. And they're like, look.
Lab boys came back with a match on that thumbprint we found on Lydia Winthrop's safe.
Mariah Osborne, right?
Nope. Some woman named Mary Lynn
Walker.
So you're like, oh my gosh, who the F is that? Well, after the commercial break, you come back and you find out that Mariah Osborne, our witch who blew into town, and Mary Lynn Walker, that's the same person.
Boo, bitch. Boo, bitch. You didn't see that coming. I'm going to interrupt you here. I will say, as much as I'm living for the Peacock, and as much as they showed me that Grace Under Fire, I'm saying it now, I saw Grace Under Fire is there. In its fullest. I got one of that in my commercials. I maybe long for the days of the Hallmark commercials that we used to be able to.
Yeah, these commercials are not as fabulous.
Be entertained with
for French Melons or no. Angie Harmon. There was no LifeLock.
Yeah, there was no like scamming of the elderly commercials that we didn't get to see. So I kind of felt a little off by that. But okay, so bam, slam dam. The witches has origins here in Cabot Cove.
Mariah goes deep into her origin story. She's like,
this gets wild. This is where it gets wild.
My mom was.
As it was, Willard Clinton came to her cell and offered to drop the charges on grounds of insufficient evidence in exchange for certain favors. My mother said no.
The judge harassed her and said if her mom would go over and have a bukkake party with him and Edie Simpson, he would get her off. And the mom was like, no, I don't do shit like that.
But then the most tragic thing is she's like, and then my mom, and then it haunted her. The jewelry thief haunted her all across the land.
After she got out of jail, my mother changed her name, mine with it. We left the state, started over. The past kept following us. No one would hire her. She had to take on odd jobs just to keep food on the table. She refused to take charity, and she wasn't a thief, Sheriff.
But she was convicted.
All the evidence was circumstantial. If Lydia Winthrop hadn't had friends in such high places, she never would have been convicted.
Once not like Medusa herself, Eve, but it's like actual Eve from the garden. Like once you pluck that apple, from paradise, you're cursed forever. And once she was
exiled
and she was cursed.
And to her dying day, she never set foot in Cabot Cove again.
She could never get over being considered an iconic jewelry thief. And
no, so she couldn't get over that. She just couldn't get over that. Okay, and Sheriff Matt is like, you know what? You're under the motherfucking arrest.
And since you couldn't prove anything, you opted for revenge instead, didn't you?
No.
Huh? Then Nate Parsons investigated that theft, so you started with a little arson there. And then you lured Judge Clinton to the bell tower where you shoved him to his death.
No, it's not true. I swear it. You have to believe me.
Mariah Osborne, I'm arresting you for the murder of Judge Willard Clinton.
And Mrs. F is like, F you, Matt. And she intends to find out who the fuck really killed this judge.
Well, don't thank me yet, Mort. You see, I don't believe that Mariah killed Judge Clinton.
Mrs. F, what are you talking about? You're the one that helped lock it down. The connection between Lydia and Judge Clinton, the hairs in the bell tower.
That's not true, Mort. I only showed you that she was Monica Walker's daughter, not that she had committed the murder.
Well, are you saying she didn't?
I'm saying that I don't know, but I certainly intend to find out.
So then we come to my favorite scene of the episode. When Jessica is just iconically strolling in her perfect red sweatshirt through Cabot Cove. And who does she see? But Joe the fireman.
Oh, you love this scene with the dog? Because there's a little...
Was he cute?
The dog... He was cute, but was he gay?
Was he gay?
Was he gay? Was he gay? I think so. Yes, 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 and yes. And he has a Dalmatian, as all good firemen do in Cabot Cove.
And Joe... I don't remember what he tells her. He tells her some shit.
We found traces of vinyl curing urethane on the floor near the file. It's very flammable. Yeah. That went fast, then a file, and with all the papers around, the place went up like a Roman candle.
Floor varnish. He gives her some clues about floor varnish. And so then she goes to the insurance man, and she's like, hey, I need some insurance papers about Goody Butler's diamonds. Like, Jessica gets access to anything she wants. And he's like,
but all that stuff got burned when my shed was torched.
And Jess is like, okay. So then Jess finds out from Sheriff Matt that that hair, once it comes back from the lab, oh, wait, is it from Mariah? Is it from Cher? It could be.
It could be from Cher.
From a wig.
The hair from the bell tower turned out to come from a nylon wig.
It's a wigadoon. It's a wigadoon from Brigadoon.
So the hair came from a wig.
It's not real.
So Jess has all she needs. She's got the clue about the floor varnish. She's got some news about the insurance man and the diamonds being insured by Goody Butler in the 60s.
She's got Monica.
She knows Monica is actually Marilyn Walker, and she knows that that hair is from a fucking wig. So what does she do? What does Mrs. F. J.B. Fletcher got herself do? She goes straight to the Goody Butler's house.
By herself. This always stresses me out.
When she doesn't bring the cops with her?
Yeah. Or anything. Yeah. I'm sure she can melt you with her eyes, but I still,
But you know what? She goes by herself because, Jessica Fletcher not only hates climate change, she also is like, fuck the police. She's like, fuck the police. OG. I'm not calling the police on people. I'm solving the crimes by myself because we don't need police. So Jess goes over to Goody Butler and she and her wheelchair ridden Goody husband and is like,
I came to talk about the Monica Walker case. Well, that's old news. Well, perhaps it was, but not anymore. If it really were old news, you never would have had to kill Judge Clinton.
That's absurd.
I wish it were. The fact is, Lydia, you falsified the charges of theft against Monica Walker.
And Marion Seldes is like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? And she's like, Jess is like, do you know this woman? She pulls out a picture of Monica Walker. And again, iconic men getting horny. The guy's like salivating over this picture. Goody husband admits he had had an affair with the secretary, Monica Walker.
Mariah's mom,
when they were there. And then Jess is like, and no one stole a diamond. You took it, Goody Butler.
Okay, this is twisted. This is twisted. This is a twisted love affair because what you do for the people you love, just listen to this.
Whew. We find out that Jess knows diamond cuts.
Your diamond necklace was never really stolen. The primary diamond is here in this room, right now, in that ring that you're wearing.
No, this ring was given to me by my great-grandmother.
Oh, the setting is antique, all right. But the stone itself is an ideal, brilliant cut diamond. They didn't develop that particular cut until around the 1920s. And that's the cut of your diamond ring, which means it couldn't possibly have come from your great-grandmother.
God knows every hair on your body. We are stardust. The stars that she creates are us. How do you not know what a chrysochronium diamond?
No. Like, is Lydia new? No, she's lived in Cabot Cove since 1967. She knows J.B. Fletcher. She should know that she's completely fucked at this point. Goody Butler, our Marion Seldes, star of stage and Mona Lisa Smile.
Is this her monologue moment? This is her monologue moment.
She framed her, and now she gets to have that confession.
And then she came back here.
Mariah Osborne.
Yes. Different name. I knew exactly who it was. When I walked in on you two together, Charles, the pain of all those old memories came back. And then when I saw her with Willard Clinton, working him, just like her mother worked you, I knew it was just a question of time before he'd tell her everything. I'm so sorry.
And then, fucking 25 years later or whatever, frames her daughter for murder.
Kills the judge because the judge knows too much, and then frames it on her daughter. This woman is boundless.
But let me tell you, this is all men, all the terrible hymns in this episode, Goody Husband, that skeevy judge, the skeevy insurance man. They're driving all these women to insanity and distraction and causing them to do things like murder people and frame people for jewelry theft, you know?
Yes, it's another case of the Cabot Cove men doing dirty, doing real
exactly.
dirty.
And Dr. Seth Hazlitt, like, turning all the women against each other for parts in his fucking theatrical pageant. Like, this
work,
is not, it's not
work.
Acceptable.
Not in Cabot Cove, it's not.
Mm-hmm. So Jess gets Marion Seldes thrown into jail, and then
that's
the
so
episode
sad.
Iconically
I feel like
ends.
That is so sad. I don't like that though.
No, I'm glad Goody Butler's in jail. Though I think Penelope was her accomplice. And I think Penelope is still on the loose and she should free Goody Butler, and Goody Butler should come back in 25 years for her revenge.
I think that they should go and disappear inside the witch's stump for 25 years.
Mm. Does a witch's stump take you back in time?
Yeah, yes, it does everything. You just go down into the witch's stump and like you can live in there, you can time hop. It's a very nexus of alternate universes. It's basically an alternate universe. I once did a clown performance on there and I got lost for like days.
I really want them to go into the witch's stump and go back to 1967 and get Monica Walker and Goody Butler and Sally Struthers and Evie Simpson, and they just all form a coven and banish the men from the town forever.
Oh, this is a fanfic. We got to start doing fanfic. You and I, maybe not for the girls, but you and I just need to call each other and just, you know, if we can't be in Cabo Cove, at least we can write our own.
So then the episode ends at the performance of the play. I have so many questions. At first, I was thrilled because I thought that Jess was Goody Butler's understudy and that we were going to get to see Jess perform this part. But no, she's just there in an iconic blue coat. And much as she's allowed at every crime scene, she's also allowed backstage up to the moment of performance.
And Eve shows her commonly face and gives a wave at the end. So
Evie's there, got that extra day on. And Seth has some tag on this about show business that isn't really that funny. But I was just really glad that Mariah Osborne got to shine in that play like the fucking star she is. She got to finally leave Barbara Hershey's shadow and just shine on.
She got to put on that lipstick, that red lipstick that all good witches wear. Piece.
Yes.
All good witches from that time wear that bright, beautiful red. Yeah, she shines, doesn't she?
She does. She really does. I'm proud of her. And I hope that she gets to get a little more integrated into that town and make the Butler name just good again in Cabot Cove and like win her mother's good name back.
I know that I want to live there in her house, but maybe I also want Mariah to live there too. Maybe it's a rent-to-own thing with Eve. Like, you know, maybe if she starts putting in, keeps shining up the brass parts of the house, maybe, you know, does some repairs.
That whole brass whole thing was very strange. I mean, I do really want you to get some actual working cauldrons.
And some dry ice. Just like endless.
Just have them around your house.
An endless thing of dry. Joe, be careful, kids, with dry ice because it can burn you. I recently was burned by some dry ice.
Were you?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Okay, good story.
Thank you.
Okay, so that is my favorite Murder, She Wrote, The Witch's Curse. Not to be confused with our last My Favorite Murder, She Wrote, Witch's Stump.
That was our first.
Our second was
Workout Town.
All about the
when like
the
Wayne center. Had a workout center.
Wayne's Workout World. Go back and download those episodes and subscribe to the podcast and leave us some more iconic reviews. We love getting your reviews. They're so beautiful.
Yes. And we love being in Cabo Cove. We love sharing our Cabo Cove love with you all. Obviously, we're just not going to stop trying to enter heaven. But yeah, we're really excited for this month. We're pumped. So let's get witchy together.
Write our name in the Book of the Beast and get ready for a big Halloween month with For the Girls podcast. And just continue to come here and escape from the daily hells of the world by worshiping J.B. Fletcher and coming to the Church of Lansbury.
We love you, Battle Angels. Stay strong, and one day we'll all be sailing.
You're going to get into paradise, yep, we promise. We'll
be sailing in paradise. Bye, angels. Bye.
Thanks to State Farm for supporting this show and helping our listeners protect their businesses and lives. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.